on TSN 690.
At the time of Rio, it was furthermore about, or mainly about the failure in the Moscow laboratory. Now it's about the manipulation of an Olympic laboratory, mainly in Sochi. So there, the conditions then and now are totally different.
This is like in Vancouver. If the Canadian government, and say Canadians were cheating en masse, which they're not. I mean, there's cheaters in every country. I'm not that naive. But the Canadians are not cheating en masse. But say they were, and the Canadian government changed dirty urine bottles, put clean urine in, and used the Mounties to intimidate clean athletes. This is what went on in Sochi. I think that, you know, that may drive it home to people why I think Russia should be out lock, stock, and barrel for one games.
Welcome back, Melnick, in the afternoon on TSN 690. IOC President Thomas Bach announcing the suspension of Russia from the Olympics in South Korea. Brian Williams, who's covered, I don't know, 14 Olympics. He won't be going this time. Brian Williams with us a little after 4 yesterday. We promised yesterday we would go to Moscow, and we're about to, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Ray Ferraro on today. He wasn't with us yesterday, traveling in Anaheim. Ray will join us to talk Habs and hockey after 4. But right now, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Gabrielle Tetreault-Farber, writing for Reuters in Moscow, where it's late. It's bedtime. So, Gabrielle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right. First of all, the reaction yesterday in Moscow to the IOC announcement and the mood, if you can take us on the streets, if you can take us into hallways, behind the scenes there, what the general reaction was to this in Moscow.
Well, the news came pretty late here last night. The Bach press conference around 9:30 p.m. Moscow time. So it was pretty quiet relatively at this time. What was surprising, however, is you had certain reactions that you might not expect, like that of the sports minister or Alexander Zhukov, the head of the Russian Olympic Committee, who really said, you know, this decision is contradictory. There are positive, there are negative sides. They didn't express as much outrage as we might have expected. The presidents of the different sports federations here in Russia were a little bit more indignant, denouncing this decision. But I think here most people knew that there would be some kind of restrictions on Russia's participation in Pyeongchang, and the decision was what it was.
All right, and how long did it take before Russia formally responded, officially responded?
It took this was all happening in Switzerland and not in Moscow, so it went pretty quickly. I mean, as soon as the decision was made, the IOC said that they would inform the Russian delegation first before addressing the press, so they knew right then. But yeah, essentially it's been building up over the past few weeks. You've had more than 20 athletes banned for life from the Olympics. The athletes competed in Sochi, medals stripped from them. So it's been building up in the past few weeks, and I think, you know, was the last step to, you know, just everybody understanding that, you know, these Olympics are not going to be like those in Sochi and not going to be like those in Vancouver for Russia.
When did Putin respond?
Putin responded today. It was pretty late, like I said, Moscow time last night. Putin said that Russia will not block Russian athletes who want to go to Pyeongchang in a personal capacity. Obviously, those who will be invited, those who are able to prove that they have some kind of doping-free background, that process hasn't begun yet. But essentially, you know, the Kremlin said earlier this week that they had no plan to, Russia had no plan to boycott. And this became clearer today with Putin's comments.
Was there, in spite of what the proclamations from the Kremlin, did you think that there was a possibility in light of the announcement, the sweeping suspensions, that that he maybe would lean towards asking some athletes to stay home?
I mean, I think I think once the position is set, it's set. I think there might be in society certain lawmakers and certain individuals who think that it would be inappropriate for certain athletes to compete under a neutral flag, under the Olympic flag, and not compete under the Russian flag. But you have very prominent Russian athletes coming out. You had Ilya Kovalchuk last night saying, you know, you have a chance to go. He plays in the KHL, so, you know, he presumably will be on the Russian team, on the Russian hockey team. So, you know, he says, you have the chance. This might be your last Olympic Games. You should experience it. I encourage everyone to go. So the positions are split, and I think in general you'll see most people sort of rallying behind the athletes and saying we're going to go and we'll be stronger. And we all know that you're Russians, and you know that you're Russians, and we don't really need this whole thing. Yes, it's a shame that we won't have the flag and whatnot, but we'll go out there and show them. But then you have the other side that says, well, you know, you're not a real patriot if you don't compete under your flag. So right now it's split, and I think many athletes haven't openly said what they were going to do if they do get invited. You have speed skater Victor Ahn, who used to compete for South Korea. He said, oh, I'm ready to go under the neutral flag. He told this to South Korean media. Most Russian athletes have remained quiet today and last night. We're not quite sure. I mean, first of all, we need to figure out who's going to get invited. So it all starts from there, and then after that, we'll see what the position is. There's a Russian Olympic Committee meeting next week where this is, will presumably all be sorted out.
Gabrielle Tetreault-Farber writes for Reuters in Moscow on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Have you spoken to athletes that have competed in the past, Russians?
I was trying to get in touch with many of them today, and unfortunately, I think people are sort of staying quiet. I was in Sochi. I spent a month in Sochi during the games in 2014. But yeah, I mean, right now it's sort of there's a tense situation. Last week they were, you know, parading their new uniforms, their new Olympic uniforms, and now they hear that they can't go under their flag. So it's been sort of a roller coaster for them. But I think people knew here that there would be some kind of punishment, some kinds of restrictions. They didn't quite know the nature, but there will be presumably Russians at the Olympics. The conditions are such that they will allow the clean athletes to compete. So I'm sure we'll see some Russians. It was presented as, you know, banned Russia, which is the case, but you'll have Olympic athletes of Russia on their jerseys, on their uniforms. So it's quite an interesting situation.
Rod?
Gabrielle, what about the Continental Hockey League through all this? I suppose this makes it easier for them to just go ahead and shut down and allow North Americans and Russians to go if they choose?
Well, this was sort of a threat made a few weeks back by the KHL that if, you know, we don't get to go under the Russian flag, then nobody from the KHL will get to go. And if you imagine Olympics without NHL and without KHL, we would run into some trouble. I mean, certain teams at least. So this hasn't been decided yet. It's still sort of all up in the air right now. We don't really know. This should become clearer next week once the Russian Olympic Committee gathers, sort of looks at the situation, and I think there'll be sort of a general consensus on what is said. But the fact that the Kremlin, that Putin today signaled that they would not block Russians who would want to go to compete under a neutral flag, sort of suggests that there, you know, it would be unlikely that they would, you know, block their or not allow them to go, pressure them not to go. You know, social pressures, family pressures, pressures among friends, that's another story.
We're finished up with Gabrielle Tetreault-Farber writing for Reuters in Moscow on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Ray Ferraro in just a few minutes from Anaheim. Now, we know that the official party line from Putin and others has been that this is a political move. It's driven by politics and Russia is being pointed at unfairly and all of that. Is there any real sense of embarrassment by people who matter, by figures who matter in Russia and Moscow?
I mean, you have certain people who expressed, dissatisfaction regarding the former sports minister at the time, Vitaly Mutko, who's now deputy prime minister. You had certain people speak out. These are coaches, generally. I don't think they're happy about this decision. I don't think any country should be happy about a situation like this. But overall, I mean, what's particular about the situation is that Russia has never acknowledged the existence of a state-sponsored doping program in the country. And that's been a sticking point for the past month in terms of getting its National Anti-Doping Agency, its accreditation back, getting its Athletics Federation reinstated, its Paralympic Committee as well. So we're in a situation when you know, the WADA is asking for them to recognize something that they don't recognize or they don't acknowledge publicly, we're sort of in a situation someone has to blink at some point, and we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Gabrielle Tetreault-Farber, on site for Reuters in Moscow. Always a treat talking to you and having you inform our listeners. Thanks, Gabrielle.
Thank you, Mitch.
It's pretty tough for sure, and you know, and I've never been there, and I know how they're feeling, but I can imagine how they're feeling for those athletes who, you know, that those, like, not the team sports, who was preparing, like, well, like, 3-4 years before the Olympics, and now it's a little bit tough situation for them.
Obviously, it's hard for athletes. Some of the athletes, like, work out, like, maybe 3 years and then get ready for Olympics, and it's hard.
Some of the reaction today from Washington, D.C., Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alexander Ovechkin. Washington is where Pierre Maguire is tonight for the matchup between the Capitals and the Blackhawks on NBC Sports Rivalry Night. So we'll hear from Pierre. All right. We're going to hear from Pierre.
We will. That's the plan.
5:05 from the rink today.
Mm-hmm. He was working hard on reconciling the tax plan, of course.
So. Yeah. I think they've moved on to Jerusalem, I think, from the tax plan, right?
That's correct, yeah. Girls make me sing and shout. And Georgia's always
over my, 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 my. The original Côte Saint-Luc Barbecue has finally reopened. Newly renovated with the same rotisserie chicken you love, as succulent as ever. And have you tried their wings? Eat in, take out, and delivery. Côte Saint-Luc Barbecue. Côte Saint-Luc Road, just west of...